Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, coming to you from the job site in Paradise Valley, Arizona.
If you're watching this, not listening to us, we're starting to take delivery on all kinds of stuff that's happening to this rehab house that we're in.
Yes, you're going to be watching mounds of hickory, real wood flooring, show up over my shoulder here in just a minute.
Today, Jill and I talk about creative deal structuring, one of my favorite topics. Mm-hmm. Before we get into it, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. And if you're already a Land Academy member, join us on Discord.
Anne Marie wrote... General newbie question here. I've been a member now for about 7 weeks, and I've spent many hours studying Land Academy, Land Investors, Discord, etc. I love hearing "get the mail out" from Steve and Jill. I've chosen my counties and have scraped the data of for sale and sold properties on Land and Farm, Zillow, and Redfin. Is it naive of me to think I can get a hold of a good
price per acre?
Familiar with that code. Thank you very much, sir.
Are you familiar with the...
That's awesome.
BFF?
Are you familiar with some of the hand gestures I'm about to hold up?
Are you familiar with OMG?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. All right. Are you familiar with BTW?
By the way.
Okay. Good. Wasn't sure.
Gosh. It's like over 90.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, is it naive of me to think I can get a good price breaker comp to price my first mailer? No. I've averaged out the price breaker on all three platforms and have a good average. Is it unreasonable to price it for 20% of the average value? Please confirm it is better to be under than overpriced. Oh, heck yeah. Unlike our... What's that? I don't know what that is.
Unlike our choices where...
Overdressed is better than underdressed. Got it. I know the market very well. People are flocking towards these areas. There are few more properties sold than compared to listed. This is all great stuff. I'm not sure how to check the wholesale for wholesale competition, but my state is X, and I don't see a lot of the Thursday will you do this deal's properties in this area. I'd love to know how to check that, though. And I'd be more comfortable negotiating up. Okay. Can we tackle these a little bit at a time?
You please answer all the questions you want. I'm going to answer the question about, is it reasonable?
Well, good. You start 20%. With that one. You start with that one. I'll do the other one.
Is it unreasonable to price it for 20% of this average value? There is no way. This question comes up all the time. The question is this. I have a great price per acre. It's $1,500. I'm real confident in my data that in this zip code for properties that are between 1 and 5 acres, they've been listed and sold for an average of $1,500. It's real easy to get to that point. It's not, if you're new, it's time consuming, but it's not that hard. Then the question becomes, how should I price my mailer? Should I price it at 20% of $1,500 an acre? 35%, 40%, 50%? Am I going to ruin my mailer at 20%? Am I going to ruin my mailer at 70%? These are the questions that go through a new person's head, rightfully so. So they seek out an answer. I'm not saying anything negative against Anne Marie here at all. I'm just using this as an example because this is probably 50% of the new people that get to the point where they're sending a mailer out have this question for us.
It's a valid question.
To which my response is, it's very, very relative. And so you need to type in a number. The way that we have these mailers set up, it's all set up for you. All you do is you type in 20%, and then you go out into that zip code and look at your mailer and test it for a reason. And if it looks like, wow, at 20%, I'm going to make an incredible amount of money, but I'm only offering $20 an acre, which is not the case at 1500. Yeah.
Test for reason is like, when he says test for reason, it's like, price it, now pull up one property and pretend that offer came back, signed, go look it up and see if that makes sense to you. Like, did I do that right? Would I still buy it at these numbers? If the answer is heck yeah, then you did okay. You passed your test for a reason.
But it can't be too cheap. Right. You know, there's two reasons that a mailer, I've ever had a mailer fail. And we just talked about this in the advanced group yesterday. Number one, I priced it too cheap. You don't want to go into rock bottom low that no one's going to respond at all. Mm-hmm. And that means like, I'd like to buy a property for $500 and it's worth 30 grand.
Yeah, like, come on.
If you have a $30,000 retail scenario, when you tested it for price for a reason, I think offering $10,000 to $12,000 is not unrealistic, or maybe $9,000 to $12,000. So, but it really depends on where you are and what you're trying to accomplish. So that 20%, please, there is no hard and fast answer to this. You have to test it and retest it, just like it took a bunch of time to find that retail price per acre. It's going to take you a bunch of time and maybe a few mailers to figure out how people are responding and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I'll end it on this and turn it back over to Jill. If it's not priced too low, you're going to get a great response, or you're going to get at least one or two deals out of it if you just follow the instructions and in all the education. So I know that everybody gets all panicky about this percentage. Mm-hmm. So the answer is nobody knows until you send it out. Mm-hmm. There is a range.
And then our second question is, how do I check for wholesale competition? I don't care about wholesale competition in general. I care about all competition. So let's just think about that.
Wow, that's a great way to say that. Mm-hmm. That's an excellent way to say that, Jill.
And the way I check for that is I sit and spot check. This is before you send out the mail too, by the way. Maybe before you pick the county, honestly. I want you to go on to Zillow, Trulia, you know, all kinds of different sites. Do a land watch, do a Zillow, and do one other at least. Let's just say that. How much is for sale in the exact price, or the exact size, I should say, and the property type that you're going for? So you're going for land only, all the 5 acres. Do you go on Zillow and see a sea of red? I'm out. You know, you don't want that. Do you see, not a lot of red, but a lot of, the red is the for sale. And if you look at Zillow, and then yellow shows the sold numbers, and you click over to yellow sold and you see things moving and there's more yellow than there are red, like Anne-Marie's kind of identifying here. I love that. So even though there's more yellow than red, I still don't want a whole lot of red.
And this should have been done. This should have been, look.
Did you pick a county?
If you're brand new at this, this is like the first time you've ever listened to the show, you know, you probably turned it off by now. This is not, we've deconstructed this. Jill and I have been doing this for 25 years. There's a step by step by step by step way to do this. And so what Jill's talking about is a red, green, yellow test on how you pick a county. Mm-hmm. That should have been done a long time ago. Right. So I don't know if Anne-Marie's getting out of order, or if she's just, you know, I don't know.
Maybe she's, let's assume you've already done that. So let's just say, Anne-Marie, you've already done that. That was part of your choices. Now you're worried about other people sending mail in that area too. Don't flip and care.
That's what I think. Anyway.
I do not care.
Joe, you're exactly right. Exactly right.
Because I've had it happen. I've been the first one to send an offer, and I know I warmed somebody up for the next guy. And I've been the third letter somebody agreed, and two other people warmed him up for me. You never know.
It's insignificant.
It's the day the guy got the letter and he's like, yeah, you know, I guess, because it could be the third time around, the third offer for a property priced very similarly. The guy might go, I guess that's really what it's worth. And you know what? I do it. You know what? I threw those other two away. I'm glad I got this one because my car broke down today and I do need the money. So let's go.
Yep.
That's it. And the third thing is, I'd be more comfortable negotiating up. Totally 100% agree. I'd rather you come in lower than higher. It's so much. Don't do drastic, like Stephen just said. The $500 thing, that's, I don't agree with that. That just sends the wrong message too. I'm not that guy. But if I send a real good offer, which is what we do in the ranges that we're talking about, and I went a little bit under, or the guy says, I really need more for, you know, whatever it is, I can add a little more money. I'm cool with that. But to take money away is a lot harder. If we come in and there's always a few that get kind of goofed up in there. Who cares? Because they were input wrong by the county. The acreage was off. There's something weird. Who cares? And they call me like, oh, I'm so excited. You just offered $10,000 and it's worth one. You know, because it was like somebody put it in there. The assessor probably put it in at 5 acres and they meant to put 0.5. That has happened. So I have to go, you know, here's the deal. It was priced that way because you see on there, it says 5 acres. It was input wrong. I meant half acre. So my 10,000 is really 1,000. That's the best I can do. It. So you can do that too, Anne-Marie. And you know, we talk about that too as ways and techniques to help you get over that hurdle. But it is definitely easier to add money. And you're not nuts. I am more comfortable too negotiating up than taking it away. It's a great question. Covered a lot.
Well, I can tell. I'll leave it on this and we'll get on the topic. The way that this is written and the concerns that you have, you're going to be very successful with this. Just keep at it.
Yeah.
Oh, the second reason that mailers fail, and this, really there's only two that I've ever had a mailer really fail, is because people are on the other end of the phone line, it's not getting done correctly.
They didn't answer the phone.
Well, Jill, somebody like Jill isn't answering the phone. Yeah, they didn't answer it.
They didn't answer the phone. There was some problem there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or didn't return calls back.
Right.
Today's topic, creative deal structuring. This is the meat of the show. I love this topic. I mean it.
Mm-hmm.
Think of this for a second. Let me paint a picture for you. You send out 2,000 letters. They're reasonably correctly priced. You chose a good area. Listen to all the education. You got these 2,000 letters that come out. 10 people call you back. They're angry as heck because you don't think you know you're insulting them. And then 5 people in the end either mail a letter back to you and expect a phone call, or they call back and say, you know, $12,000, make it 15, you got a deal. So you've got 3 to 5 deals there. Stop. You have so much control over your professional life at that moment. You should get tingly. If you can decide anything to do with these properties,
I've never heard you use that word. You're sitting there.
You have purchase staring at purchase agreements and people waiting for you to call them back for assets that are $5,000 to $8,000 to $10,000 that you're going to pay that are worth $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, and numbers vary widely depending on where your comfort level is on career path and on the advanced call. All we do is talk about stories like this.
Mm-hmm.
Why this was great and it's mailer worked, or maybe this didn't work so much, but we're all in just serious amount of control.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to control my professional life more, or I would do it. So,
I think you're doing just fine.
So that today's topic is called creative deal structuring. So based on the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you can drive up right to it and there's a farm out in front and you've got the back property that you can drive right to and you've got two of the nicest old people living there and their kids are farming and it's the most beautiful situation you can describe and it shoots well and the drone pictures come back and it's amazing, then you sell it for retail because you know it's going to sell. And maybe you sell it yourself. Maybe you sell it through a broker. There's all kinds of ways to do this creative deal structuring. My point is, you call the shots. So let's talk about some of our options, Jill.
Well, I looked at it a different way. I looked at it as deal structuring, as in deal funding and structuring those deals. Because so many people are doing different kinds of splits, how they're working together. It might be 2 people partnering on the deal to take it down. So do you want me to talk more about that?
Or you can talk about any of that. I mean, it depends on your circumstance. Right. That farm scenario, maybe you actually don't have the cash to do that. That's what Land Academy is for.
Right.
Call us or call somebody else in the group who said, I love to fund deals like this.
I have the money. I'm ready to go. What do you have?
Good. You can get the deal done. Great. In the past, if you're on your own, in the past, there's always a pressure point to a deal. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I don't understand how to get a drone. I need somebody who has experience.
I don't have
experience.
The knowledge.
Yeah.
The experience. I need somebody with experience. I don't know how to handle this one.
To help me.
Yeah.
That's what all Land Academy members are for.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're not interested in buying the asset at all, but you know that a lot of the people in this group are. So you just turn it over to them and you get paid at the end. Maybe you say, you know what? I don't want to do the deal. I never want to do deals. I just want to find them like this, get them under contract and pay, fill in the blank, Jack and Jill, 10% to turn the deal over. There's all kinds of ways you can structure it that make money for you And the beauty is you control the deal.
So that's the key, is putting that all together. So you have all these deals and you have all these people with money. This is how I looked at this.
And experience.
And I was thinking about the advanced group because we're talking about it. I was really impressed with all the creative ways. It's not just you found the deal. I'm the bank. You know, I buy the property. We put it in my name. You go sell it. We split it 50-50 and walk away. There's so many creative ways. It could be you found the deal, you don't know what to do. I do know what to do. We're not gonna do 50-50 now. So I'm gonna do more of the work. So we're gonna change the variation. You're gonna get it to me, I'll market it, I'll sell it, I'll pay for it. And then we'll split this different percentage when we're done. It could also be something like, you don't have all the money, but you have half the money and you know what to do. You could come to me going, hey, I don't want to split this totally because I'm putting up half the money too and I'm doing the work. I just need this last little thing. Let's change up the percentage there. Let's change up the terms. Let's change up what we're doing mm-hmm. here. Let's bring in another partner. What if? Because we're in this way too. Like, we have some funky ones where there's like, I don't know, three or four investors and the percentages are based on the amount that they put in. So if you put in 10% of the whole purchase price, you know, you're getting equal back kind of thing. So it could be stuff like that. And the people who are in charge could be getting a different percentage. I'm comfortable with all of it. It's just, and one of the things I want to point out, which I see new people asking the question, they're going, can you do that? And my answer is, you can do whatever you want. So this is kind of like a discussion I have with a lot of people about title agents. They think title agents tell you, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. And like, no, you don't. You come to them and tell them, here's how we're doing the deal. I'm paying cash. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of that fee. They're going to do this fee. The title agent says, okay, that's their job. However you want to do it. You want to pay for all that? Okay. That's all up to you. You can change it however you want. And I love that. Get creative. My other point is today that my head was spinning the other day from this call. Like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, me too.
I'm like,
It got me thinking.
I'm like, well, God, that's a great idea. Why didn't I think of that?
But so there's Jill's right about everything. Yeah. Everything you said was absolutely correct.
Oh, I was gonna go with I'm right about everything. Can I everyone quick rewind?
Let's bring it back down though and say that there's two basic ways that we all do deals. And they all start with and end with controlling the deal like I described. Number one, the property comes back, you're buying it for 10, it's worth 30. You buy it. You buy it for 10 and you sell it and you collect your $30,000. And that's the vast majority of what Land Academy people do it that way.
Right.
And the second major way is you don't have $10,000, you know it's a great deal, you call somebody like us or the numerous people in this group that are dying to give you the money. They pay the $10,000, you guys sell it for 30, and then everybody splits the profit according to what they think. 50% is popular right now, it's changing all the time. Mm-hmm. And so the person who found the deal gets half, the person who funded the deal gets half, and there's no real risk to anybody if it's a good deal, it's a good land deal. Mm-hmm. Those are the major ways to do it. There's a million other ways that you can offshoots of that all center around controlling the deal. Mm-hmm. So I don't want you to get intimidated because there's a lot of people that come to us and say, I've never done this before. Here's a deal. I think it's a great deal. I'm pretty confident it's a great deal. I've just never done this before. Mm-hmm. And we have a product for you. You know, we'll pay you to either turn the deal over to us or, you know, we'll pay a certain percentage on the sell side out of escrow.
I was gonna say and don't worry about, do I need to do all this extra stuff? So I'm gonna just, I will end on this. How do you do it? I've never done it before. What's the legal way to do it? Well, the best, easiest way is make a 1 or 2 page contract. If you're in Land Academy, you have a copy of ours, copy it, change it up, make it your own, I don't care. Use that quick contract. You don't need to go get an LLC together to do this transaction.
Don't worry about it.
Just this one page contract between you and the person is all that you need. That's one of my things too. Whew, that should be a Jill Friday topic, is don't overcomplicate things. There's a lot of people that do that. Get creative. Don't get complicated.
Get somebody in this group. If you don't know, how to do stuff, get somebody in this group to help you. There's tons and tons of people that will reach out. But the whole thing is you got to have a good deal.
Yep.
That's your whole job in life. If you want to make this your living really quickly and permanently, your whole job is to source great deals.
Yep.
The money's out there. The expertise is out there. The contracts are out there. All of it.
Perfect. Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show, well, it's called Jack Thursday. What Jack looks at when doing deals. I'm interested in this too. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
It's funny how our staff throws out these topics. They're like, here, you know, figure it out. Okay, which is not hard, but
I can tell you what I look like. I have some funny stories about this, but here's a sneak peek.
I have a funny thing. I want to know what Jack looks like when looking at bad deals. We'll talk about that tomorrow, too.
Here's a guess. Yeah. I look at the numbers.
I know. But it's funny sometimes. If you need any sort of access to ownership or property details, including owner phone numbers and FEMA flood map overlays, check out neighborscoop.com, created by investors, that's us, for investors like you.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.